Thomas brings the news. From Port Said, from Tbilisi, Russia, from Grand Rapids, Michigan, comes today's news as reported by America's foremost newscaster, Lowell Thomas. Now, here is Lowell Thomas and the news.
Good evening, everybody. For the first time in 16 years, an American warship enters Egyptian territorial waters. The helicopter carrier Iwo Jima, dropping anchor about 6 miles off Port Said, ready for Operation Nimbus Star to clear the Suez Canal of mines and other war debris. U.S. Admiral Brian McCauley saying, "This is very much a three-country effort. The Egyptians are in charge of running the operation, the Americans assisting, as are the British." From a Beirut newspaper, we're told that Egypt's Anwar Sadat was the target last week of an attempted machine gun assassination, that Sadat escaped unharmed, but claiming that 20 others were killed and dozens wounded. It's all denied in Cairo, an Egyptian spokesman saying report entirely unfounded. Israeli jets were striking today at Syrian positions on the slopes of Mount Hermon. Syrian and Israeli tanks and artillery dueling again across the Golan Heights, fighting now in its seventh week without let-up. President Nixon, given another five-day delay in responding to a House request for additional tapes and documents, the White House explaining that more time was needed because of difficulties in transcribing some tapes, these said to be of very poor quality. Spokesman Gerald Warren stressing, however, the president's response will be sufficient, comprehensive, complete. Indonesian army paratroopers today hacked their way through the Bali jungle, finally reaching the site of the Pan Am jet crash, and they found it a total loss. Of the 107 passengers and crew, including 26 Americans, all dead. Senator Kennedy of Massachusetts was a visitor today to the Tbilisi Central Market in Soviet Georgia, mingling with crowds of shoppers, engaging in a little American-style politicking. The Russians seemed to love it. At one point, a Russian matron observed ecstatically, "How beautiful he is." Capitol Hill, the swearing-in of Michigan Democrat Bob Traxler as the newest member of the House. Speaker Carl Albert taking the occasion, as he put it, to realistically appraise the win by Mr. Traxler, said Speaker Albert, "The Republican Party is in bad shape, real bad shape," adding, "Unless it straightens itself up, there will be only one party, the Democrats," further suggesting that this would be bad not only for the Republicans, but for the country, adding, "I believe in a two-party system." The Senate Foreign Relations Committee today approved the appointment of 6 new diplomats, including our first ambassador to Sweden in a year and a half, Robert Strauss Hoppe of Pennsylvania, transferring from the embassy in Belgium. 2 more giant oil companies, Exxon and Texaco, report huge gains in their first quarter earnings. Exxon, a jump of nearly 40%. Texaco, more than doubling its previous earnings. Gulf President James Lee thinks that Congress will pass legislation restricting future profits. "I think Congress is vindictive," said he, "and regardless of the good case we make, Congress will insist on changing the tax laws." From a black study group, a report on the number of black Americans holding elective office. The figure said to have increased by 152% in 5 years, with the civil rights movement gaining momentum. From Buffalo, a story of a court case where the punishment surely fits the crime. Instead of a fine, convicted streaker, Jerry Chilson, age 18, allowed to make a $25 donation to charity. The money it cost him to run nude, now to help clothe needy orphans. Coming to the Gracewell Country Club, Grand Rapids, Michigan, a special golf tournament for ministers, priests, and rabbis. Co-chairman, a couple of local pastors who have drawn up a unique set of rules bill as follows: "Thou shalt not use profanity. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's putter. Thou shalt not swipe thy neighbor's ball. And thou shalt not bear false witness in the final tally."
Dedicated golfers, Lowell, now adding religious fervor.
"Young I may be, but still I'm a man. Just turned 18 and I'll do what I can to find me a place where I can be me. Get ready for life, be free and see. Get trapped, wanna feel free instead. All alone.
Get your chance at success, learn an exciting job, and see the world. Call toll-free 800-841-8000. That's 800-841-8000. Or see your Navy recruiter. Be someone special in the new Navy.
I know where I'm going from here.
Where is your next story from, Lowell?
Albany, the New York State Legislature, a lobbying effort by a group calling itself the Happiness of Womanhood, otherwise HOW. How members attempting to prevent the passage of legislation aimed at providing equal rights for women, handing out fresh-baked apple pies along with their literature. House spokesman Claire Middleton saying, "We don't want to be treated the same as men. The man is the head of the family, the woman the heart." And so long until tomorrow.
Mayor Goldschmidt presents his fiscal 74-75 city budget to the city council tomorrow morning. KOIN City Hall reporter Boyd Levitt takes a look at that document.
Mayor Goldschmidt's budget proposes...
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. Welcome to our world of mystery and the macabre. Sit back and lend us your fears. Have you ever seen a ghost? It is an experience of such horror as to turn your blood to ice. Oh, I know, there are those who scoff, but they have never met a ghost. Mel Stout was a scoffer, but not his wife, Liz. And on the night they first drove up Gormley Gorge Road to Gormley Lodge...
All right, Mel, you laugh if you want to, but the fact remains that the Putnams were driven off the bridge over Gormley Gorge by a ghost driver in another car.
Who says?
The sheriff. He told me that the wife lived long enough to tell the story. How a car driven by a skeleton came driving straight at them, and her husband swerved aside, and off the bridge they went.
She was dying. She was in a state of shock.
Mel! Mel, there's a car coming out of the
Holy
bridge!
Holy Toledo! Oh, my gosh. He went right by. You and your ghost drivers, Liz. It was just another car, and it passed us.
Yes, it passed us. This time.
Mystery drama, The Ghost Driver, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by George Lother and stars Augusta Dabney and Mason Adams. It is sponsored in part by Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, Brewers of Budweiser, and by the Kellogg Company, makers of Kellogg's Special K cereal. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
Great taste in the morning.
For Kellogg's Special K. We've been having some fun in our television and radio commercials by using a ball and chain to symbolize the slight overweight problem common to so many of us. We point out that being a few pounds overweight is just a little more difficult for you. Climbing stairs, just walking around, even sitting down can feel, well, like you're wearing a ball and chain. In case you missed the message, it's this. If you really want to get rid of that extra weight, you really have to work at it by exercising and with sensible meals like the Special K breakfast. A 1 ounce bowl of Special K, America's favorite high protein cereal, 4 ounces of skim milk, tomato juice, and coffee, less than 240 calories, nutritious, and by the way, delicious. So why not begin each day with a Special K breakfast and then keep up the good work? Special K can't help you lose weight all by itself, but it really is a good start.
The mystery has been solved. For all your shopping needs, large or small, shop the climate-controlled malls of Janssen Beach Center. It's always fair weather at the beach. More than 60 shops and services await your shopping visits to the center, so make a day of it. Take your time shopping. Eat a leisurely lunch. Just browse through the afternoon. We work hard to make our motto mean something. The mall that has it all. Janssen Beach Center. Interstate 5 at Jansen Beach.
Success. Success.
Well, George, my boy, now that you've graduated, you're on the road to success.
Success. You got to succeed. Success.
Yes, George, this promotion for you is a great step toward success.
You got to succeed. Success.
So what makes you think our home's a success, George?
Success. You got to succeed. Success. No other success can compensate for failure in the home. A thought from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Do ghosts exist? Mel Stout doesn't think so. But his wife Liz feels differently. If it had been up to Liz, they'd never have bought Gormley Lodge on top of Manitou Mountain in Colorado. Why? Because according to a local legend, the former owners, the Putnams, had been sent crashing to their death by a ghost driver who came at them head on. Now, in the living room of the lodge...
Liz, I've had it up to here with that brother of yours.
Oh, now,
Mel. I mean, he promised to help finish painting his living room before the Duncans arrived tonight, and where is he?
Mel,
I'll tell you where he is. He is out on the slope skiing, enjoying himself, as usual.
Well, you just be reasonable. Now, if we didn't have Rory, where would we get a ski instructor, I'd like to know? We certainly can't afford to hire one, any more than we could afford to have this place painted.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's just that I've got so darn much on my mind. Liz, I just hope that I haven't made the mistake of my life and yours.
We'll make a go of the lodge. We're off to a pretty good start. The Duncans arrive tonight, and they're booked for a full week. And the Todds and the Morgans arrive next week.
Yeah, and after that?
Well, darling, our newspaper ads ought to get us more customers. Just ask yourself, darling, what would you rather be doing now? Painting the living room of your own ski lodge with paying guests arriving tonight? Or slaving away at your old accounting job in Aspen?
Well, at least that brought a check in every week.
Oh, Mel, you've wanted to be your own boss for years. And so we bought this old mansion on top of Manitou Mountain to start our own ski lodge. The old Gormley Mansion. And we're going to keep at it until we make a success of it.
Liz, you're marvelous.
Oh, there's somebody at the front door. I'll get it. Oh, Mrs. Gormley.
Come to pay you a visit, Miss Stout. My first formal visit.
Well, that's very good of you, Mrs. Gormley. Won't you come in?
All right, Jason. You heard the lady. Wheel me in.
Yes, Mother.
You know my son, Jason? You've met?
Yes, briefly. Mel, the Gormleys have come to pay a visit.
Nice to see you, Mrs. Gormley. Jason, hope you don't mind if I finish this painting.
Oh, go right ahead. I'd give you a hand, old as I am, but my arthritis keeps me in this wheelchair. Jason, why don't
you... No, thanks. I couldn't think of asking a fine arts painter to
Fine arts. You hear that, Jason? Mr. Stout complimented you. Called the mountain scenes you paint fine art.
Well, they are. Why, I saw some of them in the ski shop in town. They're very good. Do you sell many?
A few.
Oh, just enough to cover the cost of the paint and canvas. Oh, yes, and a quart of whiskey now and then.
Mother, please.
Well, now, if they don't hear it from me, Jason, they'll hear it from others.
Or to drink now and then.
Now and then. Tell the Stouts how you play Russian roulette with that old revolver of your father's when you're drunk.
Stop it, Mother, stop it.
Perhaps you'd like some coffee, Mrs. Gormley, or tea. It won't take a minute.
No, thank you. We won't be here that long. Now, I've come to do for you what I did for the Putnams. Them that bought my house out from under me 3 years ago.
Out from under you? Mrs. Gormley, are you saying that we have done that? Forced you out of your house?
Well, haven't you? Oh, it's not your fault. Jason's father left us destitute. Left me destitute, I should say. With a son too lazy to support his old mother. So I had to sell this beautiful place.
Mother, the Stouts aren't interested in all this past history.
Well, they'd better be if they value their lives.
Value our lives?
Well, Mr. Halliday didn't tell you, of course.
Tell us what?
About how the Putnams met their death.
Why, yes.
The real estate man told us about the accident.
That was no accident. No more than my husband's death was an accident.
He died in the same way? His car crashed off the bridge into the gorge?
Right. 800 feet down into the gorge, to the rocks 800 feet below. But no accident. Suicide.
The Putnams didn't commit suicide.
Not them. My husband, Jason Sr., raving drunk and suicidal, but theirs was no accident either, the Putnams. He drove them off that bridge.
Who?
My husband.
Now, wait a minute, Mrs. Gormley. If your husband was dead...
Hi. I am back.
Oh, sure. Naturally, Rory. Now, the painting job is nearly done.
Oh, now, don't get uptight, Mel. I just didn't remember it till I was out on the slopes. Hi, Mrs. Gormley. Jason. Paying a little social call?
It's anything but social.
Mrs. Gormley, are you saying that your husband, even though he was dead, somehow killed the Putnams?
Liz, come on now.
All right, I'll tell you. After my husband's death, when I realized I'd been left penniless, that I'd have to sell this place, I fell into a state of depression. When the Putnams bought Gormley Lodge, well, they were going to use it as a winter home, not turn it into a ski resort like you. When they bought it, and I had to move into the little guest house, I was so sad I thought I'd die. For days and days I sat and wept, and then one night, my husband come to me.
Your husband? You dreamed?
It was no dream. Oh, it was my husband. His ghost.
Oh, for the love.
Rory, Rory.
He stood at the foot of my bed, and he begged my forgiveness for leaving me a pauper and breaking my heart. And he said, Jessica, I promise you'll live in Gormley House again. And then he vanished. The very next night, the Putnams crashed through the bridge over Gormley Gorge.
Well, accidents do happen.
It was no accident. Oh, the real estate man didn't tell you the whole story. Mrs. Putnam lived long enough to tell just what had happened. You can ask the sheriff. The Putnams didn't go off the bridge by accident. They were driven off it. Forced to swerve off it by an oncoming car. A car driven by a skeleton.
Good heavens.
That's what I wanted to say. And now you know. Good day.
Well, what kind of a put-on is this? She's trying to scare us out of here.
I'm trying to save your lives.
You're trying to get back into this house. That's what you're doing. Just the way you moved back after the Putnams got killed and lived here a full 3 years until now.
Rory, have some respect.
Respect?
For the...
No way. She may be old, but she's as shrewd as they come. She frightens you off, then moves back in again and stays until some other sucker comes
I
along.
I warn you.
Just let us know when your husband's ghost shows up again.
It did.
What?
Last night.
Oh, man, this is the neatest ripoff.
Shut up, Rory. Will you? Your husband's ghost? Last night?
Yes. And he used the same words. Jessica, I promise you'll live in Gormley Lodge again. Oh, I beg you, listen to me. The Putnams wouldn't and went to their death.
Oh, Mrs. Gormley, you're really out of sight. You know...
You, so smart. You're so sure of yourself. You think he isn't watching and listening, my husband? Do you think he doesn't know how you insulted me? Do you think he'll not repay you? Oh, yes. If people are to die this time, too, you will be the first. Now, be warned. Jason, wheel me back. Be warned.
Rory, you shouldn't have talked to Mrs. Gormley like that.
You didn't spring for that crazy story, did you?
I don't know. I wonder.
What, Liz?
Mel, call the sheriff. Find out if Mrs. Gormley's telling the truth.
Oh, come on, Liz. I look like a fool. Anyhow, I've got to finish this paint job. What? Liz, you're not...
I must find out.
Suit yourself. You always do.
Sheriff Harper speaking.
Sheriff, this is Elizabeth Stout calling. We're the new owners of Gormley House.
Oh, yes. What can I do for you, Mrs. Stout?
Well, we just had a visit from Mrs. Gormley.
Oh?
What do you mean, oh?
Oh, nothing, Mrs. Stout. Only she can be a little hard to take. Getting on in years.
Yes, well, what I wanted to ask you... Of course, you remember the accident to the Putnams 3 years ago, crashing off the bridge over Gormley Gorge.
Yes, I remember.
Well, according to Mrs. Gormley, Mrs. Putnam lived long enough to tell you what had caused the accident. Is that so?
Yes, it is.
And what did she tell you?
Well, now, Mrs. Stout, she was near death. Maybe out of her head with pain.
What did she tell you, Sheriff? Did she tell you that they had been forced to swerve off the bridge because of another car that came straight at them? A car with a skeleton driving it?
Well, as I said, she was out of her
head. Did she?
Yes, that's the story she told me.
Thank you. Goodbye.
So?
Mrs. Gormley told the truth.
A Putnam woman was dying. Anybody in that condition is liable to say anything.
I suppose.
Now, look, just get off it, Liz. We put our life savings, every cent we've got in this place, and I'm not leaving, ghost or no ghost.
Well, speaking of leaving, I'd better get on down into Manitou and pick up the Duncans at the airport.
Well, it's a bit early, isn't it? Or have you got some cute chick in town that you'd like to spend an hour or so with?
Mel, you put me away.
Don't give me any ideas, Rory.
This is some road, Rory. You drive it often? In the dark, I mean?
A few times, Mr. Duncan.
Well, it's frightfully steep and curvy.
Now, don't push the panic button, Mrs. Duncan. I'll get you to the top of Manitou Mountain safe enough. You'll be enjoying a hot toddy in front of the fireplace at Gormley Lodge before you know it.
Maybe you better slow down a little.
Ah, it's okay. That was just a patch of loose shale. You much of a skier, Mr. Duncan?
Oh, I do okay. My wife will need some lessons, though. I take it Gormley Lodge has a pro.
Oh, the best.
Me? Oh. Well, fine. Say, this road is steep and curvy. Must be pretty spectacular. Views, I mean, in the daytime.
It's spectacular enough right now, what I can see in the headlights.
We've got some views, all right. There's one, it's real cool, from the bridge over Gormley Gorge.
Steep?
800 feet straight down.
Mm-hmm.
It's too bad there isn't a moon tonight. I'd stop on the bridge and let you have a look.
What's that sound?
We're crossing the bridge now. A wooden bridge over Gormley Gorge. About 500 feet across. Hey!
What's the lights of a car? Coming fast. That damn fool is coming straight at us.
Get over!
It's a skeleton!
A skeleton driving that car! Hey! We're going off the bridge!
Seen a ghost? I asked you. Well, if you haven't seen one before, you've seen one now. I don't know about you, but I'd like to take a break to, well, steady my nerves. I'll be back shortly with Act Two. If you have the nerve to return, that is.
Hello, this is Goldilocks. It seems like only yesterday that I was a little girl tasting porridge. You know, this one's too hot. This one's too cold. And now I conduct taste tests on diet drinks. And there's one I must tell you about. Sugar-free diet 7-Up. It has a fresh, natural, delicious taste. It drives my taste-o-meter crazy. Sugar-free diet 7-Up. This one's just right.
You finally made your gift list. Your neighbor's child is 2, your niece is 6, and nephew is 7. But before you go to the toy store, there's something else you should do. Write TOYS, Washington, D.C., 20207, for a free booklet on toy safety. That's TOYS, Washington, D.C., 20207. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission.
Young I may be, but still I'm a man. Just turned 18 and I'll do what I can to find me a place where I can be me. Get ready for life, be free and see. Where do I go from here? Oh, where do I go from here? I finished the school, but what lies ahead? Don't want to get trapped, want to feel free instead.
The new Navy. You'll get your chance at success, learn an exciting job, and see the world. Call toll-free 800-841-8000. That's 800-841-8000. Or see your Navy recruiter. Be someone special in a new Navy.
I know where I'm going from here.
Terror, unless you have experienced it, is only a word. I could employ all the art at my command, my voice, the words I choose, to convey to you the full impact of terror. Yet, I know I should fail, even as Michael Duncan fails now in telling his story to Sheriff Harper on the bridge over Gormley Gorge the next morning.
Terror? You say you experience terror?
What would you experience, Sheriff? The light?
Mr. Duncan, I'm only trying to get at what happened here last night.
Excuse me, Sheriff.
Yes, Mr. Stout, what is it?
Will it be much longer before they get the bodies up?
Hard to say. Why?
I'd like to get back to the lodge. My wife is alone, and you can imagine her condition after hearing of her brother's death. Say nothing of how it happened.
Sure, sure, you go ahead. I'll let you know when you're needed to identify the bodies. I'm sorry about your brother-in-law, Mr. Stout. And the publicity.
Publicity?
And this is the second time the ghost driver has struck.
Ghost driver?
And the news has got out. I hear they're sending reporters over from Aspen.
That's great. That's just what I need. That'll end my ski resort business for good. Not that it ever got started.
Wait a few minutes and I'll ride back up with you. Nothing I can do either till they recover Jill's body.
Oh, yes, there is, Mr. Duncan. You can give me a full account.
Now, look, Sheriff, I've told you all I know. We were driving across this bridge when we saw this other car coming straight at us. Stout's brother-in-law was driving. He swerved to avoid the oncoming car and went through the guardrail. In the split second between swerving and going through the rail, I leapt clear and saved myself. I wish I could say the same for that boy and Jill, my wife.
About the skeleton at the wheel of the other car.
Why do you keep harping on that?
Because it's something to harp on. If you saw a skeleton driving that car...
I didn't.
You said...
I know what I said, but I've got to be wrong. I couldn't have seen what I thought I did.
Why not?
Because I don't believe in skeletons driving cars. I don't believe in ghosts.
Now, take it easy, Mr. Duncan. All I'm after is a complete report. The fact.
All you're after is the publicity you're going to get out of this. Put you on the map, won't it, Sheriff? Why, you might even get a job in one of the big Colorado ski resorts like Aspen or Vail.
That'll be enough, Mr. Duncan. You can go. I'll phone the lodge when I need you.
Mrs. Gormley.
Well, invite me in, Miss Stout.
Oh, yes, of course. Yes, I'm surprised to see that you're not in a wheelchair.
Oh, it depends on how bad my arthritis kicks up. Sometimes I can walk with a cane, like now.
I see.
Is your husband home?
No. He's down at the bridge with Mr. Duncan.
Oh, the feller whose wife got killed, huh?
Yes.
Well, I'm sorry about that. Sorry about your brother, too. Even though he asked for
Mrs.
it.
Mrs. Gormley, I...
Your brother's dead because he wouldn't listen. He wouldn't heed my warning. Now you listen, child. You heed my warning. Make your husband listen and take warning, too. You leave this place. Leave it today.
Don't think I wouldn't. We wouldn't if we could. We can't. All our savings are tied up at Gormley Lodge.
Oh, listen to me. Listen. Now, my dead husband came to me again last night. And he promised me again I'd return to this house.
You love this old house, don't you?
Well, it was my life. You're a woman. You understand how that is.
Yes.
I came here a bride 40 years ago. Jason, senior, that is. He was just starting his career as a painter. Jason, my son, was born here. There was another child, a little girl. She died here. No, this house isn't made of wood and stone.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Oh. Oh, I think they've come back. Yes. My husband and Mr. Duncan are back.
I'll go then.
Oh, well, Mrs. Gormley, I'm going to put some coffee on. You stay. Have a cup.
No. I can't bear to go on looking at people who I know are going to die.
What's this? Die? Who's going to die now?
You are, Mr. Stout. You and your wife. If you don't heed my warning and leave as soon as possible.
Now, what's all this, Stout? Who is this woman?
Jessica Gormley used to own this place.
Oh, the woman you told me about. The one who claims her husband's ghost visits her.
I don't just claim it. It's true. Who are you?
My name's Michael Duncan.
Ah, yes, yes. The one whose wife went to her death in the gorge last night. Well, you take my advice, too. You leave here. Leave as fast as you can.
How about a drink, Stout?
Oh, so you two won't listen. The ghost driver killed your wife last night, and yet you won't listen. Well, let me warn you once and for all.
What was that?
A shot. It was a gunshot.
Jason. Oh, it's happened. He's killed himself.
She's fallen. Liz, help her up and keep her here. Duncan, you come with me.
You're coming. Yeah, Mr. South, what do you want?
You're okay, Jason.
We heard a gunshot.
What of it?
Well, we've heard of you and your little games, like Russian roulette, and we thought that you...
That I'd shot myself? No such luck. Come in, if you want to.
Oh, the gunshot we heard.
I fired it. Deliberately.
You fired that shot deliberately?
You ask a lot of questions. For someone I haven't even met.
This Mike Duncan, he and his wife are to be my first guests. It was his wife who got killed last night.
Oh. I'm sorry. How did you escape?
Flung myself from the car just before it went through the guardrail.
Well, you'd better keep an eye out for the old man's ghost. He'll be after you.
Now, Mr. Gormley, I don't believe in ghosts. Now, why did you fire that revolver?
What business is it? All right. I'll tell you. You'll think it's nutty.
I'm sure.
I've been playing Russian roulette with this gun for years, ever since my father died.
And I always win.
Or lose, depending on how you look at it.
And how do you look at it, Jason?
I give it to you straight, Mr. Stout. I want to lose. For years now, I picked up the gun like this. Oh, no, not every day. Maybe once a week. Once every other week. Whenever the mood comes on me. And I put it to my temple. Like this.
Wait a minute.
Don't worry. Gun's empty. I haven't put in a fresh bullet yet. You see, the reason I deliberately fired that bullet I had in this gun is to find out if the thing was a dud. It wasn't.
Too bad.
May I shake your hand, Mr. Duncan? You're the first man I've ever met who says what he thinks.
You want to kill yourself? Go ahead.
I like you. You do speak your mind. And now, gentlemen, if you'll excuse me, I've got to get back to this painting of mine. By the way,
what do you think of it?
Pretty lurid, isn't it?
That's just the right word for it, Mr. Stout. See? There's the car swerving and crashing through the bridge. The oncoming ghost car with the skeleton at the wheel. All in flaming color. I knock out one an hour. I slap a frame on it and I sell it in Manitou for $20. So excuse me, will you? Business is going to pick up, thanks to last night. And I want to be ready to supply the demand.
It's been a rough 24 hours, Miss Stump. It's a nice chair. Just right for sitting in front of a fire. Cost you plenty, I'll bet.
Yes, plenty. But that isn't what I'm thinking about.
You're thinking about your brother and my wife lying in their coffins at the undertaker's in Manitou.
Yes, and also that even a small village like Manitou has an undertaker.
Birth, death, taxes. The only sureties in life, Mrs. Stamp.
Liz.
Mike. I like your husband.
Me too.
He told me about everything. About what getting this ski resort means to you. Your life savings invested, all that.
All down the drain, I'm afraid.
The publicity?
What else? Every reservation's canceled. Well, all except one. But that'll come in, too.
It has, Liz.
Yes?
There it is. Please cancel my reservation for next week, Frank Norton. As a family of four. Telegram phoned in from Aspen. Anybody got a sponge?
A sponge?
So I can throw it in. I'm through, Mike.
You always give up this easy?
What do you mean, easy?
Just that. Do you always fade when the going gets tough? Or this is the time to start fighting? Does it make good sense to let all this go down the drain because somebody's playing a trick on you? A murderous trick?
Do you think it's a trick?
What else could it be? A skeleton driving a ghost car? What else but a trick?
Well, what else? You were in that car last night. You saw. And it was a skeleton behind the wheel of the oncoming car. You told the sheriff that. You can still say that...
That it was a trick, yes.
What kind of trick? Damn it, Mike, you admit you saw a skeleton driving a car, but you can still call it a trick? I see you don't answer.
Look, Mel, I'm a practical man, a businessman. You think being a businessman is simple? Oh, no. I've had troubles that would make yours look like nothing. Today you won't find anybody more successful than me. But I've been bankrupt twice. Yes, and paid off every cent.
How?
Well, not by running away the way you want to, but by standing up and fighting. And that's what you've got to do right now.
How? You tell me how, and I'll do it.
We'll do it together. I've got a stake in this, too, you know. My wife is dead. Murdered. Yes, murdered. Not by a ghost, but by a trick. And if it's the last thing I do, I'm going to find out who played that trick and make him pay.
And you don't think it's a ghost?
Do you? Answer me. Do you believe in ghosts? Did you believe before you came here and ran into this mess you're in?
Well, no, I didn't.
Then why start believing now? Ghosts, my foot. Now, this is a trick. Somebody wants to stop you from turning Gormley Lodge into a ski resort. And if you ask me, it's the Gormleys. One or the other or both is behind all this. Or that sheriff down in Manitou.
The sheriff? Oh, Mike, you don't really think that the
sheriff... I don't know what to think, Liz. All I know is that somebody's behind this. And those are the three likeliest suspects. Now, look, I'm no Sherlock Holmes, but I've got a brain. And I've got guts. And well, my wife is dead. My Jill. Well, I'm just going to find out who killed her, that's all.
Tough as they are.
You like a drink, Mike?
No, thanks. I'll be okay. Especially when I nail that murderer.
What have you got in mind?
Well, it'll be dark in about an hour. We take the car, Mel, you and me. We take the car, and we drive up and down that road. All night, if necessary. To meet meet up with this so-called ghost driver. And when and if we meet up with him.
Yes. If and when you meet up with him, what?
We don't turn aside. We don't swerve out of his path and off the bridge. We drive straight at him and keep driving at him. If he's a ghost in a ghost car, we'll drive through him.
And if he isn't?
If he isn't? Well, if he isn't, it'll be one hell of a crash.
You out there listening, what would you do? If you were Mel Stout, would you accept Mike Duncan's challenge? If you were Liz Stout, would you let your husband accept it? It can mean his death, you know. What exactly would you do? I'll be back shortly with Act Three.
Ever see a beer drinker pour his beer real easy down the side of the glass? Maybe you do it yourself. If so, the Budweiser brewmaster thinks you're missing something, especially if you're a Budweiser drinker. You see, Bud is brewed, so it will kick up a healthy head of foam. Exclusive Beechwood aging and natural carbonation make it a lively brew. Well, anyway, pouring Bud plunk down the middle of the glass helps bring out the best in the clean white Budweiser foam and real beer aroma. It also helps you get the full benefit of a taste, smoothness, and drinkability you'll find in no other beer at any price. Remember, brewing beer right does make a difference. Next time, pour that Budweiser right down the middle and see for yourself. Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
You're driving through town. You pass a sign you may have seen a thousand times, but never really noticed. The sign of your local American Red Cross chapter. Look behind that sign, and you'll see that the Good Neighbor is on call 24 hours a day. Not only to help when major disasters strike, but with hundreds of special and personal needs of people in trouble. People who suffer. People you know. You'll find us helping to feed and shelter people when there's a flood or a hurricane. You'll also find us teaching blind kids to swim, new citizens to learn English, and helping addicts to unravel their snarled lives. Across the country, in fact, we get involved in over 100 different helping people jobs. American Red Cross. It's working right where you live. Join us.
Two men are now driving the twisting, precipitous mountain road that leads to Gormley Lodge. One, Mike Duncan, believes that the ghost driver they hope to meet is nothing but a trick. Mel Stout, his life savings, every penny at stake, has had no choice but to go along.
Mike, I'm bushed. Let's make this the last trip. We're going to drive up and down this road till dawn. Yes, and night after night if we have to. Until we meet up with our so-called ghost driver.
This is the sixth time we've been up and down this mountain road.
Okay. Pull over. I'll drive. Get out your side. I'll slip behind the wheel.
Yeah. Hey, there's a car coming up behind us. Red light flash. That must be the sheriff.
Yeah, it's the sheriff, all right.
And Mr. Stout.
Oh.
And you, Mr. Duncan.
What are you doing here, Sheriff?
Well, that's what I want to ask you. I got a report from Mountain View House across the valley there that they were seeing headlights going up and down this road. Guess I don't have to tell you everybody around here's on edge after what happened last night. Now, what are you up to?
We're not up to anything, Sheriff. We're driving this road in hopes of meeting up with whoever or whatever killed my wife and Mr. Stout's brother-in-law.
Get yourselves killed in the bargain? Oh, no. You drive on up to Gormley Lodge, and when you get there, stay there.
You make that sound like an order, sir.
That's what it is, Mr. Stout.
Well, I guess we better do like he says, Mike.
I don't think so.
Oh, you don't?
No, I don't. This is a public road. We've got a right to be on it. Unless we're doing something that breaks the law, and we're not.
You're a kind of troublemaker, Mr. Duncan, aren't you?
Sheriff, I never go looking for trouble, but I know how to handle it when it comes my way. Now, either you arrest us for breaking some law or other, in which case you'd better be prepared to back it up, or I'll sue the town of Manitou and you for false arrest, or get off our backs.
I'm not on your backs. I'm trying to save your lives. Take my advice.
Advice, huh? I thought it was an order.
All right, wise guy. Have it your way. Go ahead and get killed and be damned to you.
Let's go, Mel.
You can sure sound tough, Mike.
No small-town sheriff pushes me around.
Well, he's only trying to do his job.
Maybe. Maybe not.
What do you mean?
I don't know. But that's what we're going to find out. Tonight, tomorrow night, or whenever. Now, there's the bridge ahead.
Yeah, maybe you better slow down.
No. If it's a ghost, we'll go through it. If it isn't...
Mike, headlights coming toward us.
Now, look, don't lose your nerve.
Coming closer. We're going to crash if you don't... Mike! Dive in that car, it's roaring!
Your brother-in-law.
Oh, my God! Mike!
Myself, Liz. Not only what we saw, but getting out of it with our lives.
The fates were with us, Mel. I lost my nerve. I have to admit that. I just couldn't keep driving straight at that awful thing coming toward us. I couldn't help myself. I swerved at the last second.
Well, thank God we hit that stanchion instead of going off the bridge.
Rory driving the other car. It's impossible. Rory's dead. We're burying him tomorrow.
Rory's dead, that's for sure. But it was Rory driving that car, that's for sure, too.
Then ghosts do exist? Now?
Yes, huh?
After the funeral tomorrow. Let's get out of here. Let's go away from this place as fast as we can.
And go where?
Back to Aspen, of course.
Liz, we're broke. We haven't enough dough left for a motel room. Where would we stay? How would we live?
Mel, I didn't know things were that bad for you.
Putting this place back in shape cost me just about every penny I had.
Well, look, would a loan help?
You'd be willing to...
Well, sure. I like you two, and, well, the way things turned out, we've gotten to know each other real fast, practically friends. So... Well, if you can use a loan...
That's generous of you, Mike.
It is generous of you, Mike, and I appreciate it, but... No, thanks.
What'll you do?
Do what you said I ought to do. Fight this thing.
Liz? Mike? If you ever come east, be sure to look me up.
We will, Mike.
Yes, of course.
You won't change your mind about the loan?
Can't. We'd only be putting off what's bound to happen. Unless...
Unless what?
Unless I can find the answer to what goes on here. There's something bothering me, something I feel that I saw somewhere but didn't pay much attention to at the time.
Well, what about it, this something?
It's just something that's bothering me is all. Something that just could give me the answer to all of this.
Good luck. You deserve it. Oh, there's the taxi that's going to take me to the airport. Goodbye, Liz.
Goodbye, Mike.
Bye-bye, Mike.
Bye.
And thanks. Well, we'd better get on back, Liz. Liz, you coming?
Yes. Mel, you better know it now. No matter what you intend to do, I won't be staying. Mm-hmm.
we've got to face the facts. Buying this place was a big mistake. I admit it now. But there's no sense in crying over spilt milk. What's done is done. So, darling, let's just turn our backs on it, walk away from it, and start again.
Start what again? The treadmill of office work? The dreary day-to-day monotony of auditing accounts, toting up figures? I can't bear to go back to that kind of life. I have got to make a go of this. I don't have any other choice.
But is it worth your life? Ghost or no ghost, Mel, it's killed four people. It would have been six if you and Mike Duncan hadn't been lucky enough to hit that stanchion. And it will be six if you insist on driving that road again tonight.
Six? How do you make it six?
You don't think I'm going to let you do it alone, do you?
But at the funeral, you said that you weren't even going to stay.
Because I hoped that would change your mind. But it hasn't. So you see, I have no choice either.
It's just like last night with Mike. From the top of the mountain down to Manitou, then back up again and again, and no sign of him.
But he did show, finally.
And Mike lost his nerve, swerved aside at the last second. Let's hope I don't lose mine.
Will it matter?
What do you mean?
Well, if you lose your nerve, we'll go off the bridge. If you don't, and the ghost car isn't a ghost car, we'll be killed in the crash.
If there is a crash, but there won't be.
You seem awfully sure of that.
I am. Remember at the cemetery I told Mike there was something I had seen but hadn't paid any attention to?
Yes.
And that if I could only remember what it was, I'd have the answer to all of this?
Yes.
Well, it's come to me. Driving up and down the mountain tonight, it suddenly came to me. See, it wasn't something I'd seen. It was something I'd heard and paid no attention to. Something I knew but didn't realize what it meant. And if I'm right, Liz, if I'm right...
What is it? What did you remember?
We're on the bridge now. Let me concentrate on driving.
Mel? Mel! Mel, there it is, the ghost car. It's coming straight for us.
Yes.
And behind the wheel, driving it, it's Rory! Oh, my God, it's Rory!
Oh, we buried Rory.
But then it's his ghost, Mel.
Get your hands off the wheel.
Mel,
don't try to turn the wheel.
We're going to crash! Mel! Mel!
This time he swerved and he went off the bridge just as I knew he would.
How? How did you know?
Later, Liz. Right now, we better get up to the lodge and phone the sheriff.
Oh. Oh. Come in, Mrs. Gormley. Mel? Mrs. Gormley's here. Please, won't you sit down?
Yes, thank you.
Hello, Mrs. Gormley. I'm sorry about last night.
I'm not.
Mrs. Gormley, Jason was your son.
Oh, he was the torment of my life. Every day I lived. Of course, I'm sorry he's dead, but... I can only be glad it's over for me.
Did you know that your son was the ghost driver?
Oh, I suspected. But I was never sure. You see, it was Jason who wanted to go on living here in this house far more than I did. Oh, you can understand. He was born here. He grew up here. Started his painting career here in a fine big studio upstairs.
Tragic. Just tragic.
Even more tragic if it hadn't been for you. How did you come to know? What made you realize that my son was the ghost driver?
A gunshot.
A gunshot?
The shot he fired to see whether the bullet he used for playing Russian roulette was live or not.
Well, I don't follow you.
You see, something kept bugging me, Mrs. Gormley, but I couldn't nail it down because I kept thinking it was something that I'd seen. But then suddenly I realized it wasn't something I'd seen, but something I'd heard. That gunshot.
I still don't know.
It got me to thinking about Jason playing Russian roulette, playing with life and death. And that got me to thinking a step further. Sure, Russian roulette. Only a fool or a would-be suicide would play it. But the fact remains that the odds are in his favor. Every time Jason spun the barrel of that gun and pulled the trigger, the chances were 5-1 against firing the bullet.
Oh, but what was the connection between that and the ghost driver?
Driving a car straight at another car is just another form of Russian roulette.
Ah, yes, I see. Well, Sheriff Harper came to see me, and he said Jason was wearing a mask. A paper mache mask of your brother's face.
Yes, and it wasn't a very good likeness of my brother. But it didn't have to be. It looked enough like him to fool him when you saw it under those awful conditions. The night and the headlights and the car coming straight at you. Fear did the rest.
There must be another mask, the skeleton face.
Oh, there is. We searched the studio and we found it, Sheriff Harper and me. Yeah, well, it's all over. Jason's at peace at last. God knows I soon shall be. Well, good day. It's funny, though.
What, Mrs. Gormley?
Well, we've searched and we've searched, but we couldn't find a mask of my husband's face.
What made you think there was one?
Well, you see, when I heard about the masks, I thought it must have been Jason who came and stood at the foot of my bed. Not my husband's ghost. But if it wasn't Jason, who was it? What was it?
An interesting question. What was it indeed? Makes you wonder. Does the spirit live on? Are there such things as ghosts? Think about it. I'll be back shortly.
Hi, Ms. Goldilocks here. Professionally taste testing diet drinks can be very difficult, but I just had to bear with it. Then I found sugar-free diet 7-Up. It doesn't taste like other diet drinks. It's fresh, light, natural, delicious. Sugar-free diet 7-Up tastes so good that I've taste tested it hundreds of times. And each time I've given it my seal of approval. Yes, this one's just right.
Expecting a baby? Plan to refinish that old crib? If so, make certain that the layers of old paint are completely removed and the new paint you use is labeled non-toxic. Also, remember to check all crib surfaces. There should be no sharp edges. If the teething rails are damaged, they should be replaced. For free detailed information concerning crib safety, write Cribs, Washington, D.C., 20207. A public service message from the U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission.
I think you'll be glad to know that Mel and Liz made a go of Gormley Lodge and are today the owners of a successful ski resort. Old Mrs. Gormley passed on a few years ago. When the guest cottage was renovated, a really thorough search was made for that mask of Jason Sr.'s face, but no sign of it was ever found. Curious. Very. Our cast included Augusta Dabney, Mason Adams, Mary Jane Higby, Norman Rose, Nick Pryor, and Leon Janney. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
As we moved into that parlor, I was super conscious of my host's reaction to the parcel he bore in his hands. Although there was no superscription from the sender, I had an infallible feeling that he sensed exactly where it had come from. That somehow I was accidentally part of a climax in the life of this strange and vital man.
We've talked about my trophies, Monsieur Donnet.
Yes.
The ones I've mounted, the others too clumsy and large to render that way.
Yes.
And the third, so far, I've had no right nor courage to mount.
What are you saying, Sir John?
There is no reason for my receiving this parcel that I can conceive, except one. That I've found no refuge here. I've been betrayed.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by new sugar-free Diet 7-Up. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
In Portland.
CBS News. There's a rosy economic prediction tonight from a Nixon cabinet member. I'm Ann Crosman, reporting on the CBS radio network. Agriculture Secretary Earl Butz says that prices not only are going to go down, they've already dropped in some areas.
Well, I think prices have come down. The price of fenced steers. Omaha, for example, which is our primary fenced deer market, has dropped $20 from the high prices they reached last January. The price of hogs in Mid-America has come down by a third since last January. The price of wheat's come down by $2 in the last 3 months since the bakers were putting out this phony stuff about dollar bread. And they were saying if we didn't control the exports on wheat, we run out of wheat and the price of bread would go to a dollar. Since they were saying that, the price of wheat's come down $2 a bushel. I haven't seen the price of bread come down any.
Butz was responding to a reporter's question in San Francisco, where Butz stopped briefly on his way home from a tour of the Far East. Bethlehem Steel said yesterday it will raise prices as soon as price controls expire the end of this month. The company's chairman told stockholders that wage increases and rising costs of materials and services made hikes in steel prices imperative. The chairman said that although steel production and shipments for the first quarter of this year were at record levels, inflation and price controls had held profits to unsatisfactory levels. Yesterday, three domestic oil companies announced increased earnings for the first quarter of this year. Exxon, the world's largest, said its earnings were up 39% over the same period last year. Texaco's rose by 123%, and Occidental's by 817%. Oil company officials defended the earnings, saying they were necessary for more exploration for new oil sources in the United States. More news in a minute.
Hey, that's a nice pile. Thank you.
Joe, your turn to
Somebody shy here. Hey, Ted, swing the pile, okay?
All right,
here we go.
Listen, because I'm sorry, but, you know, Mary is out, and I got to go check the baby. I'll be right back.
Every time we start a game, we never get this thing over with.
Oh, don't worry. Don't worry. He'll be back. Here, I'll put him in.
Pass the pretzels, will you?
Here. Come on, Dad. Hey, Dad.
Come on.
Hey, listen, did you ever see those bumper pads?
You know, you got to make sure that they're tied in securely all around the crib so the kid can't get caught between the slats.
Boy, are you a nervous father. What could happen to a baby in a crib?
Listen, plenty can happen if you're not careful. Oops, there he goes again. Listen, fellas, I'm sorry, but, you know, just hang in there and I'll be back in a couple
of minutes. Come on.
Just go ahead and deal. I'll be right back.
That's all right.
Don't worry about it. I'll be back.
There are lots of things you should know about crib safety before the game begins. For free information, write Cribs, Washington, D.C., 20207. This message brought to you by the U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission.
San Francisco Mayor Joseph Alioto has again defended the police department's massive search for the so-called zebra killer. Police are stopping black men who look like an artist's composite drawing of the killer. Alioto says these search and question tactics are not new.
This has been a regular police practice. We did it in the Zodiac case. We did it in the Knob Hill rapist case, and I have no criticism of the chief or the department for the manner in which they handled it.
The suspect in the Zodiac case was white. About 500 men have been stopped in the current search operation. Alioto says that only about one-third of these have been questioned. The American Civil Liberties Union has brought suit in federal court charging harassment of black suspects, and a court hearing is scheduled for Wednesday. A new special intelligence group of 30 black officers is now on the case. Police say the group will not be stopping and questioning suspects, but rather will be gathering intelligence. More after this.
The time is 6:45 a.m.
Oh, boy, already? Well, this ought to get me going.
The time is 7:15 a.m.
Breakfast is ready, Henry.
Okay, I'll be right down.
The time is 7:30 a.m.
More coffee, dear.
It's maybe half a cup. I'm running a little late this morning.
The time is 7:45 a.m.
How do you like that? Nothing but shortages of this and shortages of that.
Well, I noticed there's no shortage of tobacco.
Huh? Oh, sorry. Did my cigarette bother you?
Yes. Doesn't it bother you?
The time is 8:05 a.m.
Hello? Oh, hi, Bill. Hey, hang on a second, will you? Let me grab a cigarette. Now, what's happening?
If this sounds like a typical day in your life, your life must not mean much to you, does it? Kick the habit. Join the unhooked generation. This reminder from your lung association is a matter of life and breath.
The Senate Foreign Relations Committee would like to see the United States again trading with Cuba. The committee unanimously approved a resolution to end the U.S. trade embargo against Cuba and to restore diplomatic relations. If the resolution were approved by both the Senate and the House, it would not be binding on President Nixon. Rather, it would express the sense of Congress. The Argentine subsidiary of Chrysler will be sending 9,000 Dodges to Cuba. The first shipment is scheduled for next month. The Chrysler subsidiary signed a contract with Cuba on Tuesday. It's the first part of an agreement which is expected to provide about 42,000 vehicles to Cuba over a three-year period. Ford and General Motors are still negotiating their part of the agreement. I'm Ann Crosman, CBS News.